That's the gaze. That's the gaze that if we're going to have faith, yo, we've got to look at God and we've got to look at his promise. Any faith, you know, we got this big thing today. You know, it scares me what's the stuff that's going on out here today where people are telling you that, you know, you can speak this into existence, that you can say this. You know, what is that? That's taking my gaze off of God and his word and his promise, and that's putting it on self. And if I don't get healed, then I didn't have the faith. Well, your faith ain't got nothing to do with it. Because it's not your faith. Watch this now. This is a very important lesson. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole Christian life. It's not your faith. Watch this. It's the object of your faith.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Gift of Faith. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gift of Faith.
All right, I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. This is the last message in a series that we've been doing. We've been talking about some of the enabling gifts. We studied the serving gifts, and we were talking about the enabling gifts. We looked at the gift of discernment, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of wisdom. And today we're going to look at the gift of faith, the gift of faith. And that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 9, it talks about the gift of faith, but we want to look specifically at the example that we're going to follow this morning. And I ask that you pray for me because I got my third string Bible again, and it's hard to see. And, you know, like I said, it's not the blessed King James. No, no, I'm just kidding, saints. All right. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And here God is speaking to Abraham. In the presence of him, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was counted to him for righteousness. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and to proclaim the riches of the Word of God. Lord, I don't know how people came in this morning, but Lord, I pray that as they leave, their life might be changed. Lord, their thinking might be changed, that they would apply something that they hear from the Word of God today to their life. And Lord, we believe that whenever the eternal Word comes into contact with the eternal soul, that an everlasting change can be made. And so we pray today that an everlasting change might be made. And then we invite the congregation to come and dine. The Master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The Master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, at your table this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The gift of faith. There are people that have the gift of faith. As you see in the notes, if you would look at the first block, the gift of faith. This is the divine enablement to believe in a promise of God and the ability to act on it. the gift of faith, the divine enablement to believe in a promise of God and the ability to act on it. There are some people that just have this ability to just hear a promise from God and to just stretch out on Him and to trust Him. When I was in seminary, I read of George Mueller, who ran an orphanage in England, and how that by faith, he didn't have anything, but yet and still, every day the children in the orphanage were able to eat because Mueller had such a great faith in God. The story was told one time when the orphans were sitting at the table and Mueller had prayed and thanked God for the food, and he didn't know what he was going to serve them. And somebody broke down at front, and they had a load of bread, and they came in for assistance. And they came in and saw the orphans, and Mueller was able to provide bread for the orphans. And if you ever get the chance, go back and read the life story of George Mueller, because his life is one of faith, that event after event after event after event, where he just supernaturally trusted God. And there are some people that have this gift to be able to just stand on the promises of God and see God do miraculous things in their life. But then there's the rest of us. And all of us, to some degree, need to have faith. Oh, we might not have the gift of faith. We might not be able to step out and stretch out like George Mueller. But all of us need to be able to trust God and hold on to the promises that He has given us. See, as I began to meditate on this thing, you know, there's a problem in the church today. And the problem is that we are just not faithful people. We are just not trusting people. When was the last time, oh, somebody help me this morning. When was the last time that you really had to stretch out and trust God to meet a need in your life? The thing is, we've just become so self-sufficient. You know, we can provide for ourselves. And if we can't provide for ourselves, then we can go to the bank. So we get away from this faith and trust in God. But all that God would bring us to points in our lives when we have to just stretch out on Him and to realize that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. That God would bring us to the place where we would find out where He guides, He provides, where He leads, He feeds, and where He directs, He protects. That we would come to the reality to know that we can trust God. The problem is that many of us are like the disciples that were on the boat when the storm came up and Jesus was asleep down in the bottom of the ship, and they woke Him up and He came up and calmed the storm, and He said, oh, you of little faith, or excuse me, you of no faith. He charged them of no faith. Now, these were people that were following Christ. They were following Christ, and they had no faith. A man fell off a cliff and was hanging on to a branch, struggling to hold on. He said, is anybody up there? And a voice came back, said, this is the Lord. I'm here. Do you believe in me? Yes, Lord, I believe in you, but I can't hold on much longer. Just let go, the Lord said, and trust me. Is there anybody else up there? Isn't that the testimony? Isn't that the testimony? That we're hanging on that branch. And God is saying, let go and trust me. And we're saying, is anybody else up there? Can I call on the doctor? Can I call on the lawyer? Can I call on the teacher? Is there anybody else up there? And God says, just let go. No faith. And then those of us who have faith, some of us have little faith. Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they come up and they don't toil or spin. Consider the birds of the air, how that they labor and they are fed. He said, trust God. Oh, ye of little faith. So part of the problem is that 50% of Christians have no faith and the other 25 have little faith. Little faith. It's like the guy who was fishing. And he was catching big fish. He was catching some whoppers. But he kept throwing them back. And somebody saw him doing this, and they asked the question, why do you keep throwing back those big fish? Man, those are some prize-winning fish. Why do you keep throwing them back? And he reached into his pack, and he pulled out this frying pan. And he said, because they won't fit in the pan. God has some great things in store for us, but our pans are too small. Our pans are too small. If we look at our pan and we don't think we can fit it into our pan, we walk away from it. And God is saying, you got to learn how to trust me. You got to learn how to stop doubting. That there's a little poem that goes, faith and doubt. Doubt sees the obstacle. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars high. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers, I. We need some faithful people in the church of God. You know, this church is not going to move ahead unless we got a pastor of faith and unless we got people of faith. We can ready to do some great things. There's an announcement in the bulletin. I forgot to highlight that. See, sometimes I have so much on my mind when I come here, I forget to announce things. But the first Friday evening in September, we're having a dinner for all the leaders in the church. For all the leaders, and we're going to discuss, and then we're going to come to the rest of the body, so y'all don't need to be fearful now. And when I say leaders, I'm saying deacons, deaconesses, trustees, and anyone who heads a ministry. Because sometimes we say leadership, get a little confused there. So I want to make it clear. Well, we're going to talk about building a new sanctuary. We're going to talk about how we're going to build a new sanctuary. And we need to sit down and talk to the leaders to see where we're at in this whole situation. And as we come, to this dinner with steak and fried chicken, no, collard greens, sweet potatoes, candy yams. No. As we come to this dinner and we examine the direction that we're going to go as far as this new sanctuary is concerned, we need people of faith. We need people of faith to be able to come and sit down and look at this thing from a God point of view. See it from God's perspective. Because the church of God is not going to move unless the people of God have faith. When we built this building here, you heard the testimony before. All we had was enough money to put this building up and basically finish the offices on the first floor. Upstairs was a big empty space. Downstairs was a big empty space. Where are we going to get furniture from? Where are we going to get chairs for people to sit on? Where are we going to get grease boards from? Where are we going to get tables for people to sit down and eat at? I don't know. We didn't have the plan for that. Well, all we had to do, God told us to put the building up. We put it up. Oh, but God. God began to work. There was a corporation downtown that had new office furniture. And they went somewhere and they saw a color scheme. And this office furniture didn't fit in with their color scheme. And they wanted to donate it somewhere. Well, God already knew that that wasn't going to fit in with the color scheme because it was for Bethany. So God, once again, the church didn't buy this. God blessed Pastor Glaze with a first-class office and conference room. It was just a big empty space. But God. God got some men and women from the church with some offerings and donations to go upstairs on the second floor and finish it. And now we have offices and classrooms on the second floor. God blessed us to be able to go down and finish the fellowship hall. But God provided the seats that you're sitting on. God provided the tables that we eat at the Master's Kitchen on Friday afternoon. God provided all that. We didn't have that when we started. You start out, my brothers and sisters, just with a promise. You start out with faith. You start out just knowing that this is what God told me to do. And then you move ahead and just watch God do a work that only he can do. As we move through the outline today, the gift of faith. Some people have the gift, but all people should have faith. The divine enablement to believe in a promise of God and the ability to act on it. The patriarch Abraham, great, great example of faith. We read about him today in Romans chapter 4. As we look at the outline, we have 4 points. The guarantor of faith, the gaze of faith, the glory of faith, and the greatness of faith. The guarantor of faith. God is the guarantor. God says that I'll make these things come to pass. Look what he says in verse 17. 3 things he lets us know. If he's going to guarantee it, he says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham didn't have 1 child. Or as my dad used to say, he didn't have child Aaron. And God told him he was going to be the father of a great nation. Not only that, but it says God gives life to dead things. Whoa. Abraham's body was dead. Sarah's body was dead. God brought them back to life. And then I like this right here. It says that God calls those things that don't exist as though they were. Whoa. The guarantor. You're not messing with some cheapskate, no trusting individual. If God told you to buy the moon, sign the contract because he's going to pay the deed. God is the guarantor. God says, I'm putting my name on the bottom line. Whew. I'm signing this bad boy. I'm signing this contract. And if I'm signing the contract, you can be assured that it's going to happen. Why is that? Because I told a man who didn't have a child that he was going to be the father of a great nation. I'm the God who brings dead things to life. And I'm the God that calls those things that even don't exist. I'm the one that says that they can happen. The guarantor in your personal life. The reason you're struggling. The reason you're having difficulties. Have you let God be the guarantor for your life? Have you let God move you out? Are you standing on the promises of God? Standing on the promises of God, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. See, the problem is that we don't have enough people standing on the promises because they're sitting on the premises. They're squatting on the premises, and you should be standing on the promises. Boy, I tell you what, this fires my soul up, saints. This fires my soul up that I'm not the guarantor. If Pastor Glaze says that we're going to build a new sanctuary, you better not listen to him. You better not listen to Pastor Glaze. Somewhere in there, Pastor Glaze better say, God said that we're going to build this sanctuary. God gave me this vision. God showed me this because I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee it. You know, sometimes I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. You know what they say, man? Sometimes you can't grin if your roll is thin. So, you know, don't go on my word. Don't go on my word. Here goes the guarantor right here. In your life, what's going on in your life? What do you need in your life? You can't guarantee it. You can't guarantee it. You better somewhere get some faith and trust in God. I tell you what, this is powerful. God said he told a man that didn't have a child who was past childbearing and his wife was fat, you're going to be the father of many nations. Why? Because I give life to dead things. And why? Because I call those things that are not as though they were. The guarantor is God. The gaze. What is the gaze? Look at verses 20 and 21. The gaze of faith. Verses 20 and 21. Let me find it up here now, saints. It says here that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Before Isaac was born, God promised Abraham in Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, that he would be the descendant of a numerous, as numerous, he would have descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. And at that point, that's all Abraham needed. Because what did he focus on? His body? His wife's body? He looked at two things. He looked at God, and he looked at his promise. That's the gaze. That's the gaze that if we're going to have faith, yo, we've got to look at God, and we've got to look at his promise. Any faith, you know, we got this big thing today. You know, it scares me what's the stuff that's going on out here today, where people are telling you that, you know, you can speak this into existence, that you can say this. You know, what is that? That's taking my gaze off of God and his word and his promise, and that's putting it on self. And if I don't get healed, then I didn't have the faith. Well, your faith ain't got nothing to do with it. Because it's not your faith. Watch this now. This is a very important lesson. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole Christian life. It's not your faith. Watch this. It's the object of your faith. That's the key. That's the key. Well, I can do this. I can do that. I can trust this. I can trust that. No, it has nothing to do with you. You better be looking at God. God is the object. And if I'm stretched out on him, if I'm saying, Lord, if you don't do it, I can't do it. Lord, if you don't do it, it won't happen. Lord, you gave me a rhema in your word. Your rhema. What is a rhema? Let me tell you what a rhema is. The whole Bible is the logos of God, the word of God, the revelation of God. It's God's revealed word to us from, as one little boy put it, from Genesis to revolutions, that this is the revealed word of God. This whole word is the logos of God. But whenever something jumps out at me and causes me to move and causes me to exercise faith and causes me to take action, that logos word has been narrowed down and now becomes a rhema word. Why? Because it's alive in my heart. It's alive in my life. When I read, when I'm having a need, and I read in Philippians where it says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And I grab a hold on that, that becomes a rhema for me. If I'm poor, broke, and disgusted, downright busted, and I hold on to where David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread, that's a rhema right there. And Abraham, oh, watch this, saints. Watch this. Abraham got a rhema. And what was the rhema that Abraham got? He got a promise from God. God said, I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to multiply your seed like the sand by the sea and like the stars in the heaven. And Abraham took that rhema word, and Abraham held on to that rhema word. And when Abraham had that rhema word, he looked at God, and he looked at his promise. He didn't look at anything else but God and his promise. What do you need to trust God for in your life today? What is it that's going on that you need to say, God, I need you to do this, and Lord, this is the verse that you gave me. See, you know what? I think that everybody that's going through a situation, you ought to have a verse.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Gift of Faith. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Faith, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the gift of faith, or program number 080810. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request the gift of faith, or program number 080810. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.